You bet your bippy. If you don't sock it to me first, still laughing, a life in comedy from the creator of Laughing. His name is George Slaughter, and he is here. What a pleasure to talk to you, George.
Hey, nice to talk to you. How is it in Chicago? Good?
It's good, because I'm talking to you. You know, I mean, I can't say that there are many books where the foreword was written by Lily Tomlin, the afterword, I didn't even know that was a possibility, by Goldie Hawn. We are going to talk about, I mean, just to give people a sense if they don't know your name, we're going to be talking about Mae West, Judy Garland, Sammy Davis, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Lucy, Dinah Shore, Diana Ross, Cher, Groucho Marx. We might not even have time for all of that. And of course, Laughing. It's like incredible that, I mean, you've worked with all of these giants. I want to start with Mae West. She said, if you can catch it, you'll never be able to ride it. I'm not sure what she meant. Maybe you can explain.
Well, I found out what she meant. But anyhow, Mae West was a trip. Well, she was an adventure.
Tell me about it.
Well, she was just totally outrageous, you know. She was tiny, and I thought she'd be much bigger, but she's just this tiny little woman who was gorgeous and funny and horny, and she was wonderful. I had a good time with Mae.
Was she like, come up to see me sometime? I mean, was she like her character?
Yeah, that was Mae West, and she meant it.
Ah. and how did you come to work with her?
Well, I'm not too sure. It was like I was doing all of those shows, and I'd done Judy Garland, and then Mae West, I think, wanted to meet with me. And I know I was booking Vegas, and we booked her into Las Vegas, which was a real trip. But then we booked her, and then she did an act, right, with 12 men. And part of my agreement with Mae West was that I had to agree to appear as one of her muscle men, right, which I barely qualified for. But so my adventures with Mae West could fill another book.
Okay, maybe that'll be the next book. Let's go on to Judy.
The next book, which may be even publishable. Anyhow, she was amazing. She was tiny. She had this powerful aura about her, you know, and that reputation. I enjoyed my time with Mae West a great deal.
You know, you write about Lucy a bit in your book, and I once talked to her about the time she met Mae West. I mean, this is Lucille Ball. And she said something like, oh, my gosh, I was in awe. I couldn't believe it. It'll be something I'll remember forever. She was amazing. And she went on and on about that. Was she that much, not in stature, but just in the way she projected herself, the kind of giant that I just described?
She was tiny. Mm-hmm. She was a tiny, tiny little woman, and she wore these platform shoes, which made her appear to be a normal person. But she was that, and the aura of her, and she was just special. That's all I'm saying. By the way, so was Lucy. My relationship with Lucy was one of my treasured pastimes.
Okay, so you're probably about the only person, or I'm the only person, maybe, who can say, I just watched, and I did, Like Hep. It was a TV special that you produced with Dinah Shore was the lead in this thing, and Lucy was on it, and Diana Ross and Rowan and Martin, and Lauren Green even made a cameo appearance or two here and there. It was done in like Laughing style in some ways.
Yes.
That's an interesting combo of people. How did you bring them together to do this show?
Because they were all impressed with each other. And Lauren Green was doing Bonanza. So the idea of Lauren Green doing a comedy show was in itself a bit of a stretch. But everything I did was kind of offbeat. It was off balance. It was unpredictable. And I love that. And I treasure some of those moments and some of those relationships.
Do performers actually have a good time? Lucy said she understood being typecast. She always wanted to be that. However, she said, I loved it when I got to do something different. Although she also said, I was very scared by that whenever it happened and I was asked to dance or I was asked to sing or I was asked to do something crazy. Well, she did, and so did Diana Ross, a whole bunch of crazy in this show, as did Dinah Shore.
Yes. Well, Lucy See, I booked, when I was doing the Dinah Shore show, I booked Lucy's son, who was little, you know, little Desi, when he was just a kid. He had a group, three guys, and I booked him on the Dinah Shore show. So when I was going to do the series with Steve Lawrence, nobody wanted to do it. It was too little. The show was bought at the last minute. So anyhow, I called Lucy, and I wanted, she said, why would I go to New York to do a show? Why would I do that? I said, okay, what am I going to do with this elephant? And part of the secret with Lucy, if you could have her off balance, you got her. So I said, she said, what elephant? I said, well, I've hired a pink elephant to bring you and Steve Lawrence down Schubert Alley at 11 o'clock on Saturday night singing together. I said, long pause. I said, you son of a... I said, all right, when do you need me? And she showed up, and it became... And what happened was we got arrested, and she wouldn't let me go to jail without the elephant.
All right, explain.
Waited until 6 o'clock in the morning.
You got some explaining to do there. Tell that story.
What?
The elephant story. Not everyone has a pink elephant story for which they were arrested. Tell me about it.
Nobody wanted to do the Steve Lawrence show because it was the last show that was bought, and everybody thought they were bigger than Steve. So out of desperation, I called Lucy and I told her I wanted to do the show. She said, why would I go to New York to do that? I said, what am I going to do with this pink elephant? She said, what elephant? I said, well, I've hired this pink elephant to come through Schubert Alley with you and Steve Lawrence singing together. I've got a copy of that if you ever want to see it.
Maybe.
But it was wonderful. And Lucy was in tights and the two of them riding a pink elephant. And I got arrested and she wouldn't let me go to jail without the elephant.
That's the part I want to know about. How was it that you got arrested?
Well, because you're not supposed to do that on Schubert Alley on Saturday night at 11 o'clock, you know? I mean, there's a traffic problem. There's a security problem. And so we broke all of the rules, and because it was Lucy, we got by with it, and I didn't have to go to jail.
I wonder what they charged you for, riding a pink elephant?
I think there's a whole list of things, disturbing the peace, and, a whole list of things. But it was not the only time I was ever arrested. But it's the only time, I think, maybe my most famous arrest with Lucy.
Judy Garland, you had a special relationship with. And the concern you write about in the book, Still Laughing, is that people wouldn't even believe the suits, the network people, that she would even show up to do the show in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk about the relationship you had with her.
Well, I wanted to do that show, and so, but I'd never met her. So it was 11 o'clock at night, and Mike Mann called me at CBS. He said, come on down to the office. I go down, and here is tiny little Judy Garland. I was amazed how small she was, you know. And so I walked in. I didn't know what to say. I'd been there all day, and I, you know, it was a mess, and I didn't know what to say to Judy Garland. You think about it, right? And so I said, there's no truth to the rumor. I don't care what you've heard about me. There's no truth to the rumor that I'm difficult. And she looked at me a long time. She said, you're difficult? I said, see, even you heard about it. So she said, let's go have a drink. So my first meeting with Judy Garland lasted maybe 4 minutes. And we went out and we started drinking Blue Nun Liebvermilch, which we did during our entire relationship. I loved Judy. She was explosive. And she was always, like, on edge, you know. And you had to get her attention. And once you got her attention, she showed up and look out. She was powerful. But I did had great fun with Lucy.
With Judy Garland, you mean? Do you think that we sometimes may not be aware, young people particularly, how great an entertainer the Judy Garland was?
We don't have anybody like that today. We have some great performers. I've worked with Cher and with you know, all of those people. But Judy Garland, first of all, was a star when she was very, very, very young. But she had an aura about her that broke all barriers. And she was colorful, unpredictable. She loved to, if you could make Judy laugh, you owned her. And that was my secret with Judy Garland, was trying to make her laugh.
Was she
and,
almost?
So I got by. But that's kind of been how I got by with a lot of things. I should really be in jail for some of the things I did to make people laugh.
Well,
Sinatra was absolutely vulnerable to making him laugh. And if you could make Frank laugh, you could get by with murder. But you better be careful, because if you didn't make him laugh, then you were in trouble.
Well, he knew some people who did commit murders, I believe. So, Sammy Davis, who you bought a house for, Frank Sinatra, yeah, who you ended up doing the eulogy for, as well as Dean Martin. You were friends with all of those guys. I don't know where to begin. Maybe the story of how you met Sinatra first, which is incredible.
Well, yeah, I was my first week at MCA. I was working in the mailroom, and everybody in the building wore a black suit except me. I had on a gray gabardine suit, and I was delivering some papers down at the end of the hall, and Sinatra walked into the building, and the entire company came down the hall following Sinatra, and there was I standing there in my gray gabardine suit, and Frank walked in, and he looked at the papers. He says, "Are those the contracts?" Well, he signed a contract because representing Sinatra meant they could sell anything they had. They didn't have to pay commission. They just sell it. So, yeah, those are the contracts. He said, "Are these okay?" He asked me if these are okay. I was 19 years old wearing a gray gabardine suit. And so I said, yeah, they're okay. So he signed the contract without reading it and handed me the contract. And he looked at me and he says, "I have ties older than this guy." And he walked out of the office, and everybody thought I was something special because he gave me the contracts and because I was the only guy that didn't have on a black suit. But my relationship with Sinatra started then and continued on periodically throughout his career and my career up to when they were going to do the funeral. And his wife called me, and she said, "We want you to do a eulogy." I said, "No, well, I do jokes. I don't do eulogies." She said, "You're going to have to do this for me." So we showed up at the church, and I'm sitting there scared to death because the place is full of celebrities and everything. So finally, I said, "As long as I don't have to follow Gregory Peck." Well, sure enough, there's Gregory Peck. And then I was being introduced by a bishop. And now I was scared to death because I'd met a lot of judges. I'd never met any bishops, you know. So I didn't know what to say. So I said, "Thank you, Your Honor." I didn't know what to call him. And, of course, the place cracked up. Sinatra was still in the tour. In the coffin, but he would have laughed if he'd been there. Calling the bishop Your Honor was a trip. But anyhow, that was by the beginning and the end of my relationship with Sinatra.
Yeah, and well, clearly, Barbara Sinatra considered you a good friend. If she asked you to do the eulogy, my goodness. I want to hear the story about how you bought a house for Sammy Davis. I want to know what these people were really like when the lights and cameras
It was a much smaller community then, you know.
All right, we're going to find... Sammy, hold on, George. George, we're going to find out. But first, we take a break. We come back with George Schlaughter, legendary producer. Still Laughing is the name of the book, A Life in Comedy, which is exactly... I mean, we can thank this guy for Laughing and all the performers on Laughing and so many television shows, television specials, and we'll be right back on WGN. The name of the book is Still Laughing, and that is the perfect name for this book, George Schlaughter, A Life in Comedy, which you've had. All right, so you hung around with Sammy Davis. You even bought a house for the guy. How does that happen? And you were pretty young when that happened. You didn't have a lot of money yourself.
Yes, we both were, but we spent a lot of time together, and some of Sammy's big, important engagements were at Ciro's, and I talked him into doing Ciro's, and he was supposed to do, it was the night of a premiere, and Sammy was supposed to do 12 minutes, and he came on stage and saw the audience was full of celebrities. He wound up doing an hour and 10 minutes. And the rest of the show had to wait on the curb. But Sammy and I wound up good friends, and then he wanted to buy a house. The house used to belong to Judy Garland. And Sammy wanted to buy it, but they would not sell in Beverly Hills to a black person. So I bought the house in my name. And the house, I think, cost, I don't know, but I was making $200 a week, and I bought this $200,000 house. And but then Sammy moved into the house, and it put Sammy into Beverly Hills, which broke the color barrier into Beverly Hills. And it was part of my relationship with Sammy, which went on all through his whole career. And I've been very, very lucky to have relationships with some of the people, Judy Garland and Dinah Shore and Sammy Davis and Frank Sinatra. I mean, I feel very lucky to have had relationships with them, and most of those relationships were funny because they were unpredictable and unusual, and I think that's how I got by with a lot of things.
Funny, but sometimes not easy, such as Cher. Talk about that.
But I love Cher because when I met Cher, before anybody knew what Laugh-In was, and Cher was there. We booked Cher to come in, but not with Sonny, with just Cher. And so we read through the script, and everything was funny, and Cher was funny. And because Cher was not a great reader, but we had it read to her, and she laughed. She loved it. But I realized that Sonny was looking through the script for Cher's song. And nobody had told Sonny this was a comedy show. There was going to be no song. So I then called Billy. I said, Billy, where's Cher's song? And he looked at me like I was crazy. He said, what is Cher? You know, the Mountie number. And he said, Mountie number? I said, yeah, it's in my office. Come on. Well, he's going to my office, and I said, I got to have a number for Cher. He said, but you said there wasn't going to be any number. I said, I lied. I need a number for Cher right away. So Billy Bounds, I said to Cher, well, yeah, come on in and sing this song, the Mountie number. And Billy said, you wrote a Mountie number? I so knew you're going to write a Mountie number. And so 15 minutes later, Billy Bynes came back into the meeting with a Mountie number for Cher, and that relationship went on. And my relationship with Cher went on. I adored that woman. She was a star. She was a very, very special lady. And we had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. But she was totally unpredictable. And when Sonny died, she would never let another man tell her what to do. So it was always kind of a tough sale with Cher on different things. But I still adore her, and I'm really, really so thrilled with her success. But I do reflect back on a lot of funny moments.
All right, so everyone we've talked about so far, huge stars. What, aside from talent, what makes a star?
What makes a star?
Mm-hmm.
There is no formula. First of all, they have to be unusual. And they have to do something to get your attention. And that was the way with Sammy, with Frank, with Dean. There is no formula. They have to, first of all, have some talent. And then you look for magic. And when you find magic, whether it was with Steve Allen, Steve Lawrence, Cher, Judy Garland, there's something about them that's magic. And if you can capture that, you're way ahead. And then most of them have humor. And the humor was my key to a lot of my relationships. We could make them laugh, you know. And that's dangerous, because if they don't laugh, now you're in trouble. But fortunately, I was able to make a lot of those people laugh. That's what the book is about. The adventures I had, most still laughing, was with people, unpredictable people, doing unpredictable things and making them laugh. We made Nixon laugh, you know, and that was not easy.
Well, you've got to explain that, since you said that.
Well, I mean, Richard Nixon, his closest friend was Paul Keyes, and Nixon was doing a press conference, and Nixon was totally without humor and without charm, and so we needed a star for the second year of Laugh-In. And I said, Paul Keyes said, maybe I can get Nixon. I said, get him for me, too. So anyhow, we went down to the studio where he was doing an interview, and Paul said, would you just say sock it to me? And Nixon said, sock it to me? And we said, thank you very much, Mr. Nixon. Went down the hall, put it in the next show, and it exploded. When they heard Richard Nixon on a comedy show, that gave me great credentials. And he said that helped get him elected. And I've had to live with that.
Well,
laughter is the key, you know?
Is it,
nobody ever throws a brick when they're laughing, you know?
So is
if you
really...
If people laugh, you can get by with anything. And that's what the book is about, still laughing, because I did. I got by with a lot of stuff, and I was very lucky. Luck had a lot to do with it. And then marrying Jolene Brand, my wife, we're now married 65 years.
Wow.
I don't know anybody that old. But anyhow, we're married 65 years, and much of my success was because of Jolene. And she worked with Ernie Kovacs, and Jolene had quite a career, all in comedy, and she was gorgeous. And so she agreed to marry me reluctantly, I think. But now it's 65 years. It may even be 67 years now. But at my age, I keep forgetting things, you know.
Well, the book is incredible, and there are so many things I wanted to talk about and just run out of time here. But you can read about them, Still Laughing, A Life in Comedy, George Slaughter. You are a legend for people that know in the television industry, and it's story after story after story after story, just like you've been telling, and just in the same way you've been telling, except in some cases a bit more colorful. A pleasure to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Where are you, Chicago?
I am. Thank you, George.
Okay, I love talking to you. Let's do it again sometime.
I promise, on your 95th birthday, I'm told.
I'll wait. I've got time. It will help me just to be there. That'll be good.
Okay.
And I hope they can wake me when I'm 90. Five.
Thank you.
95 now. What am I talking about? See, the memory's gone.
No, it's not. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It was great fun.